This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Big Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The 1-1. Popped him up into center field. Bradley there. And the Red Sox win it. 7-6, the final score. Not exactly according to script tonight. They come from 6-1 down to win it. Josh Smith picks up his first major league save in his first opportunity.
So I say this with all seriousness. That's a good win for the Red Sox last night. I'm not joking. That's a good win. Down 4-0 in the top of the first inning, and I'm driving home here in the immediately after the baseball reporters. I get in my car, and the Red Sox are down 4-0, and I think, oh boy, here you go. You're going to lose 3 out of 4 to Texas. Then they get a run in the bottom half, and they give up 2 more, and David Price is out of the game. 6-1. And you know what they did? They came back and rallied and won the game. And I actually give the Red Sox a lot of credit for that. So I have 2 questions tonight, one of which is sort of related to the day-to-day operation of the Red Sox, which is this. The last 2 wins, last night in particular, coming back like that, no matter who it's against, does that give you any cause for hope that they're coming out of it? Because they really have been in a season-long coma. The Red Sox have been in a coma really from the start of the year. 70 games now, 36-34. 70 games. In 11 games, in a week and a half, they'll be at the midpoint of the season. And they are still spinning their wheels, running in place the whole 9 yards, going nowhere. Nowhere. They'll probably make the playoffs because everybody else sucks. But does a game like last night at all give you any more hope? Okay, that's number one. Number two is this. And this is occurring to me more and more because there are very few guys on the Red Sox. Like I look at the roster, Murray, and I say there are very few guys on the team that I would say have lived up to the expectation this year. Like if you were to say to me, who are the players on the team that have lived up to expectations? I could name, 2, 3, 4 of them, but that's about it. Just about everyone else would be lower. Don't answer that yet.
Okay.
If I asked you right now, who's the best player on the Red Sox, what would you say?
Can I just give you my 3? Because I think it's 3 and the rest have all underachieved.
I think
it's Sale, Price, takeout last night, and Xander Bogaerts.
Okay. Jimmy Stewart?
David Price and Xander Bogaerts. I only have 2.
Okay, so I would throw Devers on that list. But you know what? My answer to the question as to who the best player on the Red Sox is right now is Xander Bogaerts. Xander Bogaerts. Do you realize the kind of year Xander Bogaerts is having?
MVP level.
I mean, right now you could argue that Xander Bogaerts is the best shortstop in the major leagues. Like, the best shortstop in baseball. The only shortstop in the game since the start of last year that has a better OPS than Bogaerts is Trevor Story with the Colorado Rockies. And I don't think he should count because he plays in Colorado. So I look at it and I say, Bogaerts, among all major league players now, regulars, guys who have played 200 games since the start of last year, he ranks 12th in the majors in OPS. Now, Betts, J.D. Martinez are both in the top 3. Or actually, take it back, the top 4. Betts is 3rd, J.D. Martinez is 4th. But if you were to say to me right now, who are you building the Red Sox around in the next 5 years? I think Xander Bogaerts might be my guy. Am I stupid for saying that?
No.
Like, really, it's extraordinary what
he's
doing.
This is what we had envisioned him being, Tony.
So I don't think it's going back, Jimmy. And here's the other element that I think is a big part of Bogaerts versus Betts. Because, again, I would ask people who love Mookie Betts, do you feel the same way about him now that you did at the end of last year?
No.
And when you look at Mookie Betts' career, because to me this is a Betts-Bogaerts discussion, J.D. Martinez is a veteran guy. J.D. Martinez can hit. We all know that, but he can't play the outfield. He's a DH. There are limitations there, and he's older than the other two guys. So J.D. Martinez to me is huge. Don't get me wrong. Critical part of that lineup. I thought he should have been the MVP last year. But Bogarts and Betts are really the centerpiece guys of your lineup, your day-to-day lineup, your batting order should be the centerpiece guys for the next 5 years to come, along with maybe Devers. And in which case you look at it and you say, well, that's pretty good. You have all guys in their basically mid to, early to mid-20s. Betts is what, 26, 27 now? Like, I'd have to look, but Bogarts is 25. He's, 26. These guys are all in the same area. Those guys should all be the centerpiece of your team for years to come. And that's pretty good, those three guys. I'm starting to think Bogarts is a better player than Mookie Betts. That's what I'm starting to think. And Mookie doesn't want to be here anyway. Bogarts has signed. He signed. If he plays like this at $20 million a year, he got his money, and he's still getting better. He's improved over where he was a year ago. And the reason I mentioned Bogarts is because he hit the game-winning hit last night. We played the final out for you, but Xander Bogarts is the one that hit it out of the ballpark. Xander Bogarts is the one that won the game 7-6. It wasn't a walk-off, but that was the key hit of the game. I don't know. You tell me as a Red Sox fan, as you're driving home tonight or to the Cape or to New Hampshire or Maine or wherever it is you're going, let's say you had to pick one right now. Bogarts or Betts. You had to pick one to build around going forward. Who are you taking? Because, again, right now, I'd pick Bogarts. I would. And you can, and there's lots of reasons for it, but I'm curious as to what you think, because I want to know, honestly, I'd like to know what you value. Because I think Mookie Betts has more holes in his game than people want to admit. I still don't think Mookie Betts can drive the ball out to the opposite field. I know Xander Bogarts can. I know he can. Kick it off with your calls here, 617-779-0985. Al's in Boston on the bullpen, and let me just say quickly, too, if you want to call about David Ortiz, anything else that's gone on this week in baseball, we'll do that. And there are a few updates with David Ortiz, which we'll try to get to later in the show. There's apparently some legal proceeding going on in the Dominican at the moment. That's my bad. Al in Boston, go.
Hey, Maz, I know what Kimbrel was doing while he was out of work this year.
And what's that, Al?
He was giving Ryan Brazier pitching lessons on how to suck and blow saves.
So you're down on where Brazier's going. Is that the deal?
Yeah, pretty much. To answer your question, I would definitely build on Bogarts. He has more of an upside than Mookie Betts.
So the other thing, Al, is that I think he plays a more important position. If you can get this type of production at shortstop from a guy like Xander Bogarts, I think he's more valuable than Mookie Betts. And I'm starting to wonder if we're going to look back on that contract with Bogarts. 6 years, $120 million. I think that's what it was, right? 6 years, $120 million. Boy, that thing could end up being a bargain. Mookie, I've said this over and over again. And you know what? There's no point in like soft-stepping into sugarcoating it. I've always thought he was a little overrated. Mookie's a terrific player. You people put him in the same breath as Mike Trout, or some people put him in the same breath as Mike Trout and the real superstars in the game. He's not. He's not. And Bogarts plays a more important position, and he's bigger. He's bigger, which I think speaks to durability and opposite field power. So when it comes to sports, yes, I'm a sizist. If you've listened, when we talk about basketball in the afternoon show or hockey or football, I place a premium on size. I think it's an invaluable asset. And it's true in baseball, too. It's worth something. John's in Georgetown. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Tony. Yeah, no, you're right. It's that Machado argument. Why give that guy a ton of money? Because you're locking down a core of your franchise that is, frankly, difficult to get for a lot of teams, and that is a shortstop. I know Machado plays a lot of third base, but still, shortstop by name. There are hard-hitting outfielders out there. Not to degrade what Mookie is, what he's done, the awards he's won. He's a terrific ball player, certainly, but a franchise shortstop for a generation like Xander Bogarts could be, they don't come around every other day, and they hate to say it, but hard-hitting outfielders do.
Yeah, and you know what, John? It's not even that. Honestly, I don't even look at it that way. I know a lot of people do when they're building a roster, and they say, well, you got to have power at third. You have to have power at first. You need speed and defense at center, shortstop, second base, and catcher. I don't do it that way. I've never done it that way. I look at it as your lineup has to be your lineup offensively, whatever it is. So if you have a shortstop that can hit, great. excellent. It gives you an advantage. You're more likely to find a guy that can play another position who can hit, you know, at another spot, at a corner spot. But as long as you have a legitimate middle of the order, you have on-base guys at the top, I don't care what positions they play. I don't want the defense to suck. I'm not saying that. But I don't go by the traditional formula. I don't believe in it. I just say, again, if you have a Bogarts and he can hit third, well, then you can have a right fielder who bats eighth. What's the difference? As long as the lineup is good, who cares what position's hit? I never understood that argument. I'm just telling you that I think, I've always thought, and if you listen to this show, you know it. I've always thought Betts is overrated. I've always thought he's overrated. He's a terrific player. I love him. I like him a lot. I hope he stays. But sometimes the way people talk about him, put him in the same breath as Mike Trout, or you know, who else can we talk about? Arenado. And again, that's a bad example because of Colorado. But you get the idea. Those premium players, of which there are like five in the game, if that, he's not Mike Trout. People say they wouldn't trade Mookie Betts for Mike Trout. You're out of your mind. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Chad's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, I honestly, Matt, I couldn't agree with you more. And I look at the stats from Mookie Betts, like from the year to now, and he wants $400+ million a year, like not a year, but you know what I mean. He wants a huge contract like that. I don't think he deserves that. And honestly, if you had to build around one of the two players, I would certainly go with Xander. Like you mentioned yourself, he's already signed with us. He's actually shown that he wants to play in Boston, whereas Mookie Betts seems like he kind of like cares more about the fame than anything. After winning, he just, when you talk about the team being lazy or complacent because they've already won, he's the first person I think of when it comes to that word, complacent. You know, like when you have that much talent, you'd think he would be putting in 200% every single day, and it just doesn't seem like he does.
So, Chad, look, he's a tough one to assess because he doesn't show a ton of emotion. And there were stages last year where he did. When he had that long 13, 14 pitch at bat and then homered, remember that game last year? I don't even remember who it was against, maybe Toronto. But when he had that at bat, he showed emotion. Okay, so I think sometimes we misinterpret that. Like there are guys who show emotion and we love them even if they suck, and the guys that are good that don't show emotion we don't like. Right? Like, again, there were guys that don't show emotion. Mookie's one of those guys. But I'm wondering, like, coming off of last year, and admittedly, there's a recency bias. Okay, coming off of last year with Betts, you say, wow, he's one of the best three players in the game. Who's been more consistent since the start of last season, Mookie Betts or Xander Bogaerts?
Bogaerts.
Because we're going on a year and a half now. Bogaerts, to me, has been consistent, reliable, good all the way through. And you know what I like, too? That he signed a massive contract. Massive. Again, not record-breaking, but a $120 million deal for a kid from Aruba. And he hasn't stopped playing. He hasn't shown any complacency. This team that's been in a coma all year, it's not because of Bogaerts. Bogaerts has played. So I give him all the credit in the world. I'll try to put Mookie's performance over the course of his career into perspective for you, into better perspective for you. And then we'll ask the question that the Red Sox looking as lifeless as they have here in the early part of the year. Is there a reason for it beyond the hangover? I'll explain when we come back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzarotta show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball, left field. Back it goes, and it is gone. Xander Bogaerts has put the Red Sox in front. The Red Sox hammering their fifth home run. That has led the comeback, and the Red Sox are in the lead.
And big hit last night by Xander Bogaerts. And it just got me thinking again. I've been impressed with Bogaerts this season. I love those guys who sign contracts and then come out and play better. Better. I love those guys. Those are the guys I want on my team because you know what? They're not playing for the money. That's not what they're playing for. They're playing because they like to play and they like to compete and they like to win. And so you know what? Bogaerts, I'll take Bogaerts. And that $20 million a year, which I thought is a little higher than what he's worth, you know what? I look at it now and I think that's going to be a bargain. And I understand he's hot. So he's having a good year, and there's always the tendency when the guy's in the middle of a good year, timing is everything. When the guy's in the middle of a good year, you say, okay, here you go. You know, now I can see what they saw. But Bogaerts, really? Oh, man, he's turning into a real, what a player he is. What a player. And is he a great Gold Glove winning shortstop? No, but you know what he is? Steady. Steady. Very, very stable and steady. Makes every play he's supposed to and every once in a while one that he doesn't. He very rarely makes sloppy mistakes anymore. Those were there early in his career. You don't see any sort of those mishaps. Meanwhile, with Mookie Betts, I don't know. I just see this up and down thing with Betts. Last year was a great, great year. The year before that, how good was he really? Like, you know, again, I'm not telling you he sucked. He was good. He was good the year before. I want to say he hit 268. I'm trying to punch it up right now, as usual, trying to do too much at once. But nonetheless, in 2017, he hit 264. 24 homers, 102 RBI with an OPS of 803. It's a good year. Again, good player. I think I like Bogaerts better. And I think the Red Sox made the right move by signing him first. Because you know what? If they don't get back in this thing and I were them, I would trade Mookie at the middle of the year. I don't know if you would driving around out there, but I would. And those of you who wouldn't trade him, I'll be candid. I think you get caught up in the flash of Mookie Betts. When Mookie does something well, boy, there's a flash to it. It's dynamic. His bat is fast. He can steal bases, which everybody loves, even though it has very little bearing, ultimately, on what happens in a game. And the defense is terrific. Don't get me wrong. But you do. You overrate Mookie Betts. You do. Paul's in a car. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, I'm certainly in agreement there, Maz, as far as keeping Bogaerts. Even Devers, for that matter, as my wife would like to call him, Babyface. The thing about Betts, too, is he blowing this opportunity on the contract he could have signed in the offseason now? You're going to go into free agency with this type of year?
So, Paul, he's not a free agent at the end of the year. He's got another year before free agency. And it's not a disaster. I mean, he's having a good year. He's not having the kind of year we'd expect because there's no impact there. Bogaerts is having an impact. And again, I just tell you, honestly, a lot of times I take the numbers out of it. I look at Bogaerts now and I say he's a 300 hitter. He can drive the ball out to the opposite field. He seems to get big hits and he plays steady defense at maybe the most important position on the field other than catcher. What is there not to like about Bogaerts? Then I look at Betts and I say, well, Betts hits for average. He runs well. He plays good defense. He doesn't have the kind of power Bogaerts does. Bogaerts has more power, and I don't care what the home runs are. Bogaerts has more power than Betts. And honestly, as time goes on, I don't know how Betts is going to hold up. I'm a little more confident that Bogaerts is going to hold up over the long term. Daryl's in Plymouth. Go ahead, Daryl.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Yeah, I was going to try to rip you on Bogaerts, but you actually said everything. But look, remember when he was 19, everyone's saying that he's going to come to his own? He's going to get bigger. Now that's what's happening now. Because he's 26 now and he's going to be a beast. But with Betts, I don't think he's going to continue doing this. I think he's a top 10 player. But if you can get somebody who thinks he's a top 3 player, then you might as well trade him and get a King's Ransom right now.
Okay, so again, this is really the question. And that's a good way to put it. So thanks, Daryl. Although I find it interesting now that all of a sudden everybody agrees with me. When I said Mookie Betts was overrated last year, people got pissed off.
Oh, it's because he's having a down year. That's why it's easier to to side with you this time around.
Right. So again, it's just all about what they see in the immediacy of it. They don't actually evaluate the player. They just go by what the production is.
The old recency bias.
So, but again, see, I don't go by the production. I don't do it that way. I don't. I look at the guy's ability, and I say, what can he do and what can't he do? This is the one that drives me crazy. If you're just going to go by the numbers, we can all do that. Any jackass can do that. Sometimes I think that's the way Dave Dombrowski runs the Red Sox. He just goes by the numbers. I look at the skill set. What can he do? What can't he do? Mookie Betts can't drive the ball out of the ballpark, the opposite field. He can't do it. It's not his fault. It's a limitation. He's a smaller guy. But the idea of where is he in his five-year career, okay, where would you say Mookie Betts ranks among major league players in OPS? Okay, and again, I'm talking about guys who play regularly now. So let's say 500 games over 5 years. Would you put him in the top five, Murray? Would you put him in the top three?
No.
Do you think Red Sox fans would?
I'm sure some would, yeah.
Okay, where would you put him if you just had to guess?
I don't know, like 18th?
15th.
Okay.
Which doesn't suck. I mean, again, that's really good. That means that, you know, one out of every two teams doesn't have a guy like Mookie. Okay, so he's a unique player. But he's 15th. He's not fifth. And now, if we're talking OPS, you know who the guys in front of him are? Trout, J.D. Martinez, who's really a DH, but nonetheless, offensively, they don't compare. Joey Votto, who's in Cincinnati and is older, and so, but Votto's an elite offensive player. Bryce Harper, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Stanton, Chris Bryant, all these guys. Then Mookie comes down in a group that I think is just a little bit lower. Mookie's OPS over his career is in line with Justin Turner's OPS of the Dodgers. Okay, so like I look at Mookie and I say, he's better than Justin Turner. The guy that he also is next to is Christian Yelich, and Yelich's numbers have spiked this year. Yelich is a good player, but I wouldn't put him in Mike Trout's category either. Mookie's not a top three, top five player in the game. You talk about him like he is, and he's not. Bogarts? I'm not telling you Bogarts is a top five player in the game. But he's playing better than Mookie is right now, and he's a hell of a lot cheaper. I put the money in Bogarts before I put it in Betts. The Red Sox were right on that one. And they wanted to pay Betts. And he turned him down 8 years, $200 million. If he ends up sucking this year, boy, he costs himself a lot of money. And honestly, again, if I'm them, if I'm the Red Sox and I'm them, which is repeating myself, Murray, if I'm the Red Sox and the trade deadline comes around and I'm out of it, I would seriously think about trading Mookie. I would.
At least make the phone call, see if we can maybe get in return.
Okay, Murray's got your headlines. And Alex Cora made a comment last night about the energy in the Red Sox dugout that I want to get to. Because I think there's a direct correlation, and I think Cora touched on it. We'll explain what that was.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I sucked.
David Price last night, I give him credit. I always give a pitcher credit when he says that he sucks. He was terrible last night. I mean, and Price has been pretty good this year, but he was bad, dug the Red Sox a hole. They couldn't, early on, I didn't think they'd be able to get out of it, but they fought their way back in. They ended up winning that game. I give them some credit for that. But I still stand by what I said last night, that the idea of splitting series with bad teams, it's just not going to get it done. Okay, it's not going to get it done. Anytime Murray has to say salvage a split, no good. No good. So I just want to touch on the David Ortiz story for a second, because there are some developments. There's a legal proceeding going on in the Dominican at the moment, and I don't know if it's an arraignment or what it is, Murray. Okay, but I want to read to you from a translation of a story that is on Diario Libre, which again I think is the Daily Press. That's a translated version of the Daily Press in the Dominican Republic. And there was a quote in it now from one of the alleged participants in the shooting of David Ortiz. Okay, so I'm reading directly. Murray, I'd love your opinion on this. At his entrance to room 5 of the applauding justice of the Eastern Zone, Rolfus Ferreus Cruz, who allegedly shot Ortiz in the back, apologized for the attack and said he did not recognize him. So I think this actually took place in court, which is why I'm reading it. Mm-hmm. There were rumors about this, but now that it's been said in court, I mean, this is a, you know, legal statement, right? I apologize. It was a confusion. It was not David. I did not recognize him. Everything was a confusion. So again, this is a translation, so just bear with me. They only showed me the clothes I was going to shoot, said Ferreus Cruz during his escort to the room where he was expected to be known as a coercion along with the other 8 involved. The accused, Joel Rodriguez de la Cruz, said not to have done anything. Okay? So again, the guy who allegedly fired the shot or shots. I apologize. It was a confusion. It was not David. I did not recognize him. Everything was a confusion. They only showed me the clothes I was going to shoot.
That's a crock. I don't believe that for a second. And even if someone else he was with was the target, I mean, David Ortiz is wearing a pretty garish Versace shirt that goes for, you know, like $1,500, but it's pretty noticeable. It's the same shirt that he's unfortunately wearing, you know, when you've seen the photo when he's got the tubes in him laying in that hospital bed in the Dominican Republic. It's pretty noticeable. No one else had a shirt, to my knowledge, looking at that video, and I think we've all seen it at this point, had a shirt that is no one else had a shirt like that on. And we're standing with David Ortiz. So, and David Ortiz is pretty recognizable. He's the most recognizable person in that country. He's a large man. That's who the target was. They're trying to cover up something here, whether it's who was initially hired. My thing at this point, I'm convinced, you know, one of those initial reports, or maybe it was through David Ortiz's people, that, you know, they said it was a hit, or one of those reports in the Daily Mail is that the police were hired by this drug dealer that was targeting David Ortiz. I think that that's what happened. The police there or someone that worked at the Dominican police were hired, and then they farmed this out to street thugs or someone in a gang that was able to do this, and they screwed the job up, and now they're trying to cover this up. I think this is going to get more salacious with each passing day.
I mean, I think that, see, I'm with you. I hear the stuff that comes out of there tonight, and I look at this, and I say, come on. You're telling me this guy didn't know he was shooting David Ortiz? Is that what they're trying to sell me now?
It's a crock.
And I think that after all of this stuff has gotten out, see, here's what I worry about in the Dominican is the corruption. Because it's a very poor country. The disparity of wealth between the few people who have it and everybody else is huge, which means the people with the money down there have power. And they have power to affect law enforcement and everything else. I just don't believe in the integrity of the police department down there. I don't believe in the integrity of the whole society because, there's a poverty issue there. And anytime you have that, you're going to get all types of corruption.
It's very easy to pay someone
off. Of course. Yes, of course. So I'm with you. And then all of a sudden, now all this stuff comes out. And now people are saying it was a case of mistaken identity?
Oh, please.
I don't buy it for a second. We'll get back to your calls here on the Red Sox. Sean in Marlboro in the team's current state, buying or selling. Sean, are you buying or selling?
So it's kind of hard to say because, first you have to decide if you're going to blow it up. I didn't realize that they're only 6.5 out of the division and 1 out of the wild card. But if you're buying, what do you buy with? And then if you're selling, do you trust Dombrowski to sell? Because has he ever rebuilt a team by selling off big pieces? But as far as the Betts versus Bogarts, I think Betts will end up with a better career. But for the money, I don't think Betts is going to live up to his next contract. He has the potential not necessarily to be as bad as Ellsbury, but I don't think he's going to live up to a big number.
Yeah, so Sean, I'll tell you that, and that really is the way you have to look at it, is you have to introduce the money. Is Mookie Betts really a $35 million player? Mike Trout is. Like, that's the one that I sort of say, Mike Trout, you can't pay Mike Trout enough. Mike Trout's the best player in the game. When people start to mention, and I understand that free agency pays the most recent guy. I get that. So I understand that when Mookie's turn comes up, he might get more than Mike Trout. And I would tell you, I would never do that. I would never in a million years do that. And when people mention Mookie in the same breath as Mike Trout, I think you're out of your freaking mind. I don't think it's even close. I'm not sure anybody's close to Trout. That's just my opinion. Now, on top of it, I love the fact, and I say this over and over again, I love the fact that Bogaerts has signed a new deal. The negotiation's over. He's got his money. He's going to get his $120 million over the next 6 years no matter what. This year, I think he's making 12, something like that. It might not even be that much. I think it's $12 million, but honestly, I don't remember. Look at the way he's playing. Look at the energy in his game. And so he's got 14 home runs already. He hit 23 all of last year. We're not even at the halfway point of the season yet. I don't know. Maybe he'll fade in the second half. There was some issue with that with Bogaerts in the past. And then, I wonder with the Red Sox, if we look at them and we see this malaise and we say there are only a couple of guys playing well, if there is a bit of a connection there, and I'll explain here in a minute. Alex Cora was asked about the comeback win last night. We've actually joined a couple of answers together here. They're worth listening to, though. Here's what Cora said.
We felt good from the get-go, regardless of the score. Obviously, we want David to go deep and pitch well, but we never felt that we were out of the game. JD put a good bat, and then Jackie did what he did, you know. But honestly, today, it was a different vibe. I mean, it's hard to create energy when you're not swinging the bat well. Right away, JD goes deep, Jackie goes deep, Rafi goes deep, and, you know, that's how you get energy. It's through offense, and we felt that they were putting good at-bats, good swings from the get-go.
So the idea that, you know, there was a different vibe in the dugout, and it's hard to have an energy or a vibe when you're not swinging the bats well, is true. And I admit that I fall victim to this all the time. When a team doesn't hit, and when it doesn't hit like you expect, because that's what the issue is with the Red Sox, it's not that they don't hit, it's that they haven't hit like we expect. Last year, every time they got men on, it felt like, oh my gosh, they were bashing balls into the gap, scoring multiple runs at a time, you know, grand slams like crazy in the early part of the year. When they had you on the ropes, they knocked you out. That's what they were. That to me, that's sort of the best analogy. When they had you on the ropes, they knocked you out. They went for the kill, and that's fun to watch. This team fights you like, what's his name? Mayweather, for Floyd Mayweather. It's like they outpoint you. And half the time, they don't even do that. They don't end up winning as a result of it. But they don't knock people out like they used to.
So what do you make of the fact that FanGraphs, and you're always going to take these kind of nerd sites with a grain of salt, obviously, they have the Red Sox forecast to score the most runs per game in the majors over the rest of the season.
Okay, so
now, granted, they've dealt with some injuries. You think it's that, like these guys, or you have guys that have been down this year, like Mookie Betts, they expect them to, I don't know, get out of the regression.
Yeah,
that
to kick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, to come something closer to what their expectation level is. I would think that that's probably true, but I think that there's a connection to be drawn. This is what I'm getting at, Murray. There's a connection to be drawn with how we feel about them right now and how they're swinging the bats. And that's Cora's point, is that, and it's even Dombrowski's point to a degree. And again, I don't fully agree with it because I think the bullpen has bitten him in the ass of late. But if they were putting teams away like they did a year ago, A, their record would be better, and B, we'd look at them and say, oh, no, they're playing well. They're playing well. The perception would be different because we look at them and we say they're dead-ass, they're mediocre, they're in a coma. I know I do, because why? Because they haven't put teams away. They don't put teams away. They don't bash them in the face like they did a year ago. And I think that that's a significant thing. Francona said this to me once, and I think it's true. A team can look like it's dead ass when it's not hitting, and they look like they don't care. He said it looks that way, but that's not really always the case. Maybe that's what's going on here. Russell's in Brookline. Go ahead, Russell.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First of all, I'm going to kiss your butt. Great show.
Appreciate that.
All right. Secondly, I think you're spot on with respect to Mookie, and I would say this. Look at last year when he had his MVP year. He doesn't want to be here. which I think is the secret sauce of any successful team. He got MVP last year. Look at his interviews. He's not excited about being in Boston. Chris Sale is. I'd even argue that Price is. Brock Holt, all in.
You're wrong about, okay, forget Brock Holt, Russell. Who the hell gives a crap about Brock Holt?
Well, wants to be here.
Okay, yeah, who cares? Like, big deal. Like, so, and the Price thing I disagree with you on. Sale and Bogarts, you're right. Okay, Sale and Bogarts, you're right. The other two guys, like, again, I don't care if Brock Holt wants to be here or not. He's a disposable part. But Mookie, and at the end of the day, maybe it's as simple as that. You fawn over him. Like, now that I think of it, Murray, after the whole Kyrie Irving thing, people fawn over Mookie Betts. Maybe the Red Sox are doing everything to try to kiss Mookie Betts' ass. And maybe at the end of the day, it's as simple as the guy doesn't want to be here. So he's getting $20 million now, but it doesn't feel like he's playing with the same impact he did a year ago. Meanwhile, Bogarts got paid. He signed early as a Boris client, and Bogarts wants to be here, and he's producing. Bogarts has been your best player after he signed the big deal. God, I love that. I do. Mo Vaughn did that once. He signed a big contract after he won the MVP in 95, and he had a better year in 96. Better. Those are the guys you want. Those aren't the guys who play for the money. If Mookie Betts wants the money and that's all he's playing for is the big payday, maybe he's not a guy that you should want either. Wrap it up with your calls. Give you the matchup of the day. Check in with Adam Jones next.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Okay, time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Red Sox are in Baltimore tonight to play the Orioles. Let me get this off my chest quick. Murray, you like their chances tonight in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
Because Baltimore's terrible.
Okay, they're 4-3 against the Orioles this year.
Oh, well, and I know Rodriguez has sucked lately. Maybe I should rethink that.
There you go, Murray. That's the kind of negative thinking we want. Yeah,
I mean, in the series, they should take 2 or 3, but if they lost tonight, considering Rodriguez and his last few starts, yeah, no, they'd probably lose tonight.
Sweep. Sweep. These are the Royals again. You swept the Royals, sweep these bums. 2 out of 3 is not good enough. These are crap teams. But the matchups, Eduardo Rodriguez against Baltimore, 220 average, 607 OPS, the whole lineup. That's pretty good. I mean, he's pitched well against his former team. Not that that should surprise you. One guy he does have trouble with, Trey Mancini, 304, 855 with a home run. That's batting average OPS. Luis Ortiz has never faced the Red Sox. We got no matchup numbers for you there. Mookie Betts, by the way, out of the lineup tonight, right, Jimmy? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's correct.
And Chavis is hitting leadoff. Jimmy Stewart handed me the lineup a while ago, and I meant to mention that. So Mookie Betts not in there. Chavis is hitting leadoff. Holt is playing second base. Who's in right field? J.D. Martinez in right field, interestingly enough, despite the issues with the back. So last night, in case you missed it, this happened in the major leagues. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Joy with a 3-run homer in the first inning. Double left center field in the third. And the triple to the right field line in the fifth. Just imagine how many eyes are on this at-bat over in Japan.
Joy, a little flare out to right center field. There's a base hit. And Shohei Ohtani has just hit for the cycle.
First Japanese-born player to hit for the cycle.
Balls everywhere here in this ballpark. And there's no doubt this kid is not surprised on all the things he's able to do on the baseball field. History made by Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, would it make me a hypocrite if, after all my dumping on the cycle, would it make me a hypocrite if I said I actually thought this was kind of cool?
Sure would. You're going to say you like this cycle?
Jimmy Stewart, would it make me a hypocrite if I said I like this cycle?
Of course, but it's better for the talk show if you are.
Okay, so Jimmy Stewart actually emailed me about the Ohtani cycle this morning. Jimmy, say to everybody else what you said in the text message you sent me this morning about the Ohtani cycle. What did you like about it?
I love the fact that he used the entire field. Home run, left center field. Double, left center field. Triple, down the right field line. Single, over the head of the second baseman, between the center and right fielder. He used the entire ballpark for the cycle. It was a thing of beauty. I miss that part of baseball where hitters, get this, actually hit the ball to places other than over the shift or trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark every swing of the bat.
They hit it where it's pitched. Yeah, they hit it where it's pitched to me. That's what they do.
Well, except for the triple. The triple was a pitch outside.
Okay, so he hooked that one into the corner?
Yeah.
Look,
but three of the four hits, he went with the pitch. What a novel concept. Sorry.
Did you bleep yourself out right there?
Yeah,
I
stopped.
So that's very good. Yeah, on the fly. That's good. Self-censoring. I like it. That's a skill, Jimmy. I got to learn that because God knows Phil Mickelson, U.S. Open, it's going on this weekend. You never know what's going to happen come Monday.
I have two other examples of that.
You never know what's going to happen come Monday here on the Felger and Maz Show. Phil Mickelson back in the U.S. Open. Look out. Have your finger on that dump button, Jimmy. Okay? But look, honestly, I don't give a rat's ass about the cycle. I couldn't give two craps. I just said it to piss you off while you're driving to the Cape or to New Hampshire or Maine or wherever it is you're driving. But I will say, Ohtani, I love. I do. I love Ohtani. I love Ohtani. I love everything about him. I love the Japanese Babe Ruth thing with the pitching and the offense. I love the fact that he can jack the ball a mile, leg out a triple, and get four hits. I love it all. I love Ohtani. The only reason I give a rat's ass about the cycle is because it's Ohtani.
Where are they in the wild card standings right
they're
now?
They're out of it.
Well, hold on.
They're sort of on the cusp, but they're not in at the moment.
Oh, the Red Sox were in on Ohtani. Oh, wait. No, they weren't. Do you know why? Because Dave Dombrowski was too lazy to put together a PowerPoint presentation to present to the Ohtani group at the winter meetings at the same hotel that they were at.
I'll tell you what, I'm starting to think Dave O'Brien might be a better GM than Dave Dombrowski, Murray. I mean, Jimmy.
Let me trade Mookie Betts. Angels, by the way, 2.5 games out of that second wild card.
Okay, so they're not dead yet. I'd love to see this guy in the playoffs. Oh, my God, I love Ohtani. Love him. And that line about the entire country of Japan was waiting on that single, they were. It's just, I don't know. I like Ohtani. I think he's cool.
He should be here. Can outbid teams.
I've already gone past 7 o'clock. Murray's going to shoot me because Friday night at 6 o'clock, Murray turns into like Broomhilda.
What, to sit an extra 15 minutes of traffic?
No, Murray's ready to kill me at 6 o'clock on a Friday night. He's like, just get this show over so I can get the F out of here.
It's now 7:01.
Seriously, he's like, hurry up, man. Shut up. Jones, what do you got?
Okay, real quick. You hate no hitters, right?
Yeah, overrated.
And you hate the cycle.
Yeah, can't see the cycle's useless.
What if Ohtani does both in his career?
Okay, how about in the same game?
Same game? What are you kidding me?
National League rules.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I understand it's possible. Just that feels like
lofty goal. Yeah, that'd right, be awesome, yeah. Though.
Well, what do you want me to do? Aim low?
I don't know. I was starting with two in his career, but same game. Okay, that would impress you.
No hitter in the cycle in the same game. Now we'd have something to talk about. There you go. Murray's got your headlines, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.